I want to share with you this morning. The title of my message is When Your Ship Sinks. One of the coolest experiences of my life was when I was in college. I had a summer job that I worked for the state of Maine, not too far from here. And my job was to live on top of a mountain with my partner in tents for the summer, and we were releasing peregrine falcons. They were birds that were endangered, and I don't know if they still are, to be quite honest. We have kind of lost touch with them. And we stayed up there, and we fed them that summer, just trying to help them to, they were young birds, to get acclimated in the wild. It was, the mountain we lived on was Tumbledown Mountain, 3,000 feet up. It had two 1,000-foot sections. The top one was literally a 1,000-foot sheer cliff that the birds lived on, and we would just hang out there. We lived in the tents, and it was, the weather up there was incredible. In fact, it was so bad. A man who served in the Air National Guard, who had flown in Vietnam, just an excellent helicopter pilot, had to fly all of our supplies to the top of the mountain. In fact, he could not land because the wind shears were so significant that if a bad wind had just had blown through there, it would have blown him off the mountain. So he would just hover on the mountain while the other men unloaded the water and the supplies that we would need that summer. An incredible experience of my life. The storms that we experienced living on top of that mountain, there, our little tent, you know, it was probably about 6 feet tall. It was a cabin tent since we were there all summer long. No running water or anything like that. In fact, we didn't have a bath all summer long. I mean, how can you beat that as a guy in college? You know, you don't, your mom's not nagging at you. Your girlfriend's not nagging at you. Would you just take a shower? You smell. I mean, we would go, we'd have to hike another mountain over to go swim in the lake, which was kind of useless because by the time you hiked back, you were sweaty all over again. But anyhow, the storms that were on this mountain were just incredible. Incredible. And I remember one night, the storms that blew through, we had three storms that came through that particular night. And the storms, as they would come by, the lightning would actually strike below us. We could look down on the storms. It was the only time that I've ever been in a thunder and lightning storm when there was no time delay. You know, usually you see the lightning and you hear the thunder and you count however many seconds or whatever. There was no time delay. As soon as we heard the thunder, the lightning was there. I mean, immediately. It was just literally all around us. Literally, my partner and I in that one tent were yelling at each other just so we could hear each other. And he was, I mean, just as close as you and I are. Just very, very close in that tent. I remember that night lying my head down, not being melodramatic, but genuinely thinking, I may not make it out of here. I mean, this is just really dumb. Our tent is aluminum poles, where it's as tall as the trees are, and lightning is striking all around us. I thought, this is stupid, you know. What in the world was my boss thinking about when he had us sleeping up here? But I remember praying that night saying, God, I have no idea if I'm going to see the morning, but God, take care of my parents and my family. I was genuinely, honestly thinking we might not make it. Life sometimes is like that. We go about our business and the storms of life can just descend down upon us. We're enjoying it and kind of going about life and enjoying the things about us and focusing on our jobs or our families or whatever. And all of a sudden a storm just kind of comes out of nowhere and it threatens our very existence. I want to talk to you this morning about when your ship sinks. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, a familiar story, a familiar miracle that our Lord did once. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. I want to give you some keys this morning, some lessons of faith. In fact, I want to strengthen and encourage your faith this morning. That as those storms of life descend, whether they be big or small, whether they be humongous, or whether they just be little squalls, that you and I would be men and women of faith, that we would be strengthened and able to stand in the middle of that storm. Read with me, if you would, Luke chapter 8, verse 22. The Bible says this, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. The first faith lesson that I want us to recognize this morning is that storms will descend in our lives. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, guys, let's go across to the other side of this lake. This was not just some little lake. This was a humongous lake. It was 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. And the lake itself was 600 feet below sea level. And right out of the lake arose Mount Hermon, over 9,000 feet tall. Oftentimes, as that cold air rushed down those mountain slopes and met that hot, warm air as the sun beat down on this lake, there would be tremendous thunderstorms that would pop out of nowhere. The fishermen in this area knew this. I mean, you know, they could look at the forecast and listen to Channel 6 or whatever the night before and call up and get the latest forecast, but just out of nowhere, a storm would happen. This was one of those kinds of storms. As they were making their way across that lake, a storm just threatened their very existence, and it began swamping and filling the boat so much that they thought they were going to die. Life is like that. We're on our way to work, not knowing what exactly is going to happen, and before the end of the day and before our head hits the pillow, we've got troubles in our life. We've got troubles in our home, in our job, whatever, in our life. Storms are part of life. It is not a matter of if they will come. It is a matter of when they will come. I suspect this morning there are already some things that are popping in your mind that you're thinking about. Some storms that you're in the middle of. Maybe some storms that a good dear friend of yours or a family member is in. Storms are common in our life. Just this past week, a dear friend of mine, Lori Lawrence, her husband and she are planting a church in Herkimer, New York, just about an hour west of Schenectady. One of the churches that partner with New Hope and that you guys are through the association are helping to plant. About a year and a half ago, Lori was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. By God's grace, that was all taken care of. But just last week, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And to the point that they did a body scan and did a bone scan and began wondering how extensive this cancer was. A very scary, I don't know that much about cancer, but she was stage 3 and they were afraid that she was stage 4 and it was going to be throughout her entire body. A storm descended it upon her life. Her and her husband are saying, God, you've brought us here to plant this church. God, we weren't expecting this. This isn't what we were thinking about. Their greatest concern was their son Dan that they just shipped off into the military and wondering where all he was going. And now they're in the middle of the storm. I do have good news. Thankfully, it's not in her bones. They got the test results back. It is localized, but she's looking at chemotherapy this week and all kinds of stuff that goes with that. Some of you understand that full well. Storms of all kinds come in our life. Financial storms. Things that we don't expect with our finances. Maybe our teenagers, our family, maybe relationships. Maybe our health. Storms are common in our life. They will descend. Jesus gave us this story to help us to know how to face those storms when they come. The second lesson that I want us to recognize this morning is that these storms test our faith. You see, that's why God sends them. That's why God allows them. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and I really don't know how you sleep in that kind of storm. I'd like to think that I probably would have been awake, and I'd probably been one of these disciples scared to death. You see, storms test our faith, and that's why God sends them to us. He sent this one intentionally for the disciples. Jesus got up, and when he woke up, I mean, his disciples are saying, Lord, we're drowning, we're dying right here. And when he got up, he didn't say, whoa, look at this storm. Did you see that? Oh, my goodness, we're in trouble. He said, where's your faith? I'm amazed. What surprised Jesus wasn't how desperate the situation was, wasn't that the boat was going down, wasn't their inability to keep themselves alive, wasn't that they were about to die. Literally, he said, guys, I'm shocked. Where's your faith tonight? Where's your faith? You see, guys, storms are a part of life. And when God looks at us, when Jesus peers into our heart and He peers into our family, the question that He asks us is, where is your faith? These men were hardened sailors. Keep in mind, guys, these guys had sailed and had fished this lake all of their life. That trade had been handed down from father to son, grandson for generations. They knew about the bad one in 54 that took Uncle Jack. They knew about the one that almost got their father, 10 years before. They knew how to sail. These were hardened. These were men's kind of men. These were not guys that were easily scared. And they thought that was it. They came to Jesus and said, "We are not about to drown." But if you look at it, they said, "We are dying. We literally, our last gasp is going out from us right now." They were terrified. Now, these guys should have had faith. They saw Jesus do the miracle of turning the water into wine. They knew He had control over all of the water. They saw Jesus heal the paralytic. They saw Jesus raise someone from the dead. They should have known that Jesus had it all under control, but reality was is they didn't have faith. Instead, they were afraid. You see, God will send storms into our life and all kinds of areas of our life to make sure that you and I have faith in every area of life. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small. I had a faith lesson just a couple weeks ago. I was traveling from Albany, Georgia. That was kind of weird, going to Albany, New York, and, punching in the kiosk, I'm going to Albany, Georgia. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I thought the plane might kind of come back and land. It was kind of an odd experience. But anyhow, I drove from Albany, Georgia to Pensacola, Florida, where my parents are. And I got lost on the way, which is typical, and I thought New York had some really out-of-the-way places. I didn't have a cell signal or anything for most of that trip, and I finally stopped and did not what guys usually do. I said, "Could you please give me some directions? I'm just totally turned around. Help me to get where I'm supposed to go." To shorten this story up a little bit, I began seeing signs to a place where I knew my grandparents lived, a place that I hadn't been in over 25 years. My grandparents have both died. And I began thinking in my heart, "God, that would be kind of neat to see that." But I didn't know exactly. I was a little kid back then. I probably wasn't any more than 10 years old or so. And I saw another sign, and I felt that little nudging in my heart. "You need to go check that out." I said, "God, I don't know where in the world I would go. I don't know where the house was. I don't know anything, God." And I said, "God, if I see another sign, I'll go." And sure enough, I saw a third sign. I pulled over and said, "God, this is really a stupid idea. I don't know where the house is. I don't have a cell signal. I can't call anybody. I can't call my parents. This is just really dumb." "Okay, God, I'll go. I don't know why. I don't know where this is. I'm trying to get to my parents' house. This was not on my agenda today, God. I wanted to go visit my family." Long story short, not more than 2 miles from where I was right where my grandparents lived. And my memories, as I pulled in for that house, I recognized it. I hadn't seen it in over 25 years. And it was such an emotional experience for me to pull over there. And I had never realized, I'd never had a chance to say goodbye to my grandparents on my mother's side. I was in Kenya when my grandfather died. I was in upstate, even further north than this, when my grandmother died. And I'd never been to the funeral or anything. And I got a chance. God gave me an opportunity to say goodbye to my parents. Here's the whole point. I was not wanting to trust God that what He was whispering in my heart by the Holy Spirit was right. And some little, small, insignificant thing is that God intentionally will direct our lives so that we learn to trust Him and have faith in Him in every area of our life. Not just the big decisions, not just about who to marry or what house to buy or what job to take, but all the little decisions of life. He wants us in every day, every little step, and all the little insignificant things to walk by faith. And He will nudge our hearts to teach us to take those steps of faith. Now, there's always a tendency, guys, that whenever those big storms hit, that we'll be afraid. I mean, we men, we'd be just like these disciples, terrified in our hearts. There's always that tendency. That's what happened when Israel faced Goliath. When Goliath came there, that big giant, all of Israel just cowered and shook. They were paralyzed by the enormity of the situation. In fact, the Bible says when they saw him, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They didn't realize that God had sent Goliath not as a threat, but as an opportunity for them to demonstrate faith. See, they saw Goliath in the wrong way. They thought Goliath was going to get them. They didn't realize that God sent Goliath just so he could prove how big God really is and that he's got everything under control. You see, the storms that come into our life, guys, just as we sang a minute ago, he's on his throne. Right now, he's unshakable, he's unmovable. He's on his throne. And I don't know what storms you have in your life, but God is bigger than any giant in any storm that you and I will ever face in our life. Those things come to us not out of a threat to us, but as an opportunity for you and me to exercise faith and trust in an almighty, all-wonderful God who loves us and cares for us. When you and I face those storms, we need to turn to the God who loves us and the God who's powerful. Now, let me give you a couple of reasons why these men had fear instead of faith. When you and I have fear, I bet you at least one of these reasons is in our heart. Number one, they missed the promise of Jesus. Look at verse 22. What did Jesus tell them? Let us. He didn't say, I'm going to cross to the other side. You guys are all going to drown. He said, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Jesus had already given them a promise. They were going to get there. He didn't say, let's go on a fishing trip. Let's go for a nice sail, boys. He said, guys, we're going to get in this boat, and we're going to get to the other side of the lake. You see, the point is, guys, if God's not scared, we shouldn't be. Jesus had it all under control. They missed the promise of Jesus. When you and I become fearful in our hearts, it's because we're missing the promises of God. Hebrews 13:5 says, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. God has promised he will never leave us, ever, and never forsake us. Another reason they were afraid, they tried to solve it in their own power. Now, I know we don't have the full story here, but guys, the picture I've got here is a storm came up. These men did everything in their power. They were seasoned sailors. They knew how to bail water. They knew how to angle the ship into the storm. They knew how to do whatever they could do to keep that boat afloat. And it wasn't until matters got absolutely beyond control to where they knew they had literally no hope did they go back and talk to Jesus. They tried to solve it in their own power. Too often you and I try to face the storms of life with our own resources, our own mind, our own money. We even run to other people. Well, what should I do? Before we run to God and say, God, what should I do? What are you doing in the middle of this? And because of it, guys, their resources were far, far inadequate, just as yours and mine are. And it caused fear in their heart because they didn't turn to the one who is unchangeable and unmovable. The third reason they had fear, they didn't know who was in their boat. Of course, you know the story. Jesus stands up, and I mean, he just calms the raging of the water, and immediately he stopped the storm and he stopped the water. Really, two miracles in one. If he would have just stopped the storm, it's normal for the waves to continue to surge, but he stopped even the waves of the water. And afterwards, the disciples then, they got afraid. They took as many steps back away from Jesus as they could and said, who is this man that he commands the winds and the waves and they actually listen, they obey him? They had been with Jesus. They had seen him do miracles, but they still did not know the depths of who he really was. See, here's the point. So often, you and I have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've invited him into our life. We've given him control and authority over our life. We are born again. But yet, that's just the very beginning of our life, and we have yet to experience him in all of the power and awesomeness and all of the personal presence that he has in our life. And we are just like those disciples. We are ignorant of just who he fully really is. And we, just like Jesus, say, God, I'm afraid, because we don't really know him and who he is. We sing the right words, but we've not come into our life to those places where we've trusted and really stepped out in faith and said, you are God alone. You alone are God, and I trust you. And there's even another reason why they were afraid that I considered this morning. The Lord showed me. They didn't know how important they were to God. I was driving to a meeting yesterday, and just happened, I was actually in Niskayuna, and stopped there at a light, and I looked aside, and there were a couple little sparrows in the on the side of the road. It looked like they were gathering up stuff for making their nest. I mean, this time of year, you know, the birds are out, isn't it wonderful, and spring great. And I just couldn't help but think of that verse where the Bible talks about there in the Sermon on the Mount. You're going to be looking at that, where it talks about the sparrows and how much more important we are than them, that they don't sow and yet they reap. They go out and God takes care of them, and how much more important are we than them. You know, one little sparrow can fall and God knows about it. You see, guys, we're important to God. You and I forget that far too often. Far too often we think, well, you know, God, they're important. You take care of them and you take care of them, but I'm really not that important. Guys, each one of us before God is important to Him. We are important and He will take care of us. So let me move to the third faith lesson. Sometimes God lets the storms continue in our life. Jesus had a couple of options. He could have let that storm continue and just kept them kind of afloat. I mean, He could have hovered that boat and levitated. He could have somehow miraculously, without them even realizing it, and they just through their efforts and bailing and sailing, that they could have gotten to the other side. He could have done that, sustained them. I mean, He could have done anything He wanted. He could have, you know, closed it up like James Bond style, you know, and gone underwater. I mean, He could have done anything He very well wanted to do. He's God. But He chose to stop the storm because that's what the disciples needed to see. Now, sometimes in our lives, God chooses to let the storms continue. And we say, God, I don't want it to continue. I want You to do a miracle just like You did for these guys. God, cut the storm off right now, please. Show me how much You love You. And God says, I am. That's why the storm's continuing. You need to see My power, My sustaining presence in a different way right now in your life. You see, guys, sometimes the storm does continue because God wants to teach us faith. These disciples weren't ready for that. They needed to see God's glory. They needed to see it. They needed to be blown away. They needed to know that Jesus was the Lord of heaven and earth, that He was in control of every molecule in this entire existence. He knew that they gave great credibility and authority to the weather and to the storms of there in the seas. And He wanted to prove to them that He Himself was in control of even that. You see, guys, in every area of our life, God wants us to recognize that He is bigger than each of those areas. Our health, our money, our family, our future, our well-being, our ministry, our church, everything. He's bigger than all of that. The only thing we need in this world is Him. And that's what He was teaching those disciples. If the storm in your life isn't calming, then there's couple of possibilities. One, it may be a storm of your own making. Now, Jesus will walk through it with you if you trust Him, but it's going to take some time to get through it. Maybe He just needs to show you His glory like He did with them. Maybe if the storm's continuing, you're still busy bailing and you've not really turned and said, God, I need You. I'm trying to solve this in all of My power. Please forgive me. I just need You. Well, guys, let me ask you a faith question. Is Jesus in the back of your boat? See, that's really what it boils down to as we go through life. Is Jesus really in our boat? As those storms hit, is He there with us as we go through life? You see, have you come to that place in your life where you've said, Jesus, I know that I need You? Have you come to that place where you've unconditionally surrendered to Him? I'm a terrible swimmer. I'm the reason why they have lifeguards. I'd be the statistic, all right? I'm the one that provides job security. If you've ever been a lifeguard, then you can thank people like me while you had a job and had some spending money. One of the first things they teach lifeguards is you cannot save somebody who is trying to save themselves because you'll both drown. You see, it's the same way with God. If we are so busy trying to save ourselves spiritually and make our way to God and work out our own salvation ourselves, and don't come to Him and say, God, I'm the one who sinned. I'm totally helpless. There is nothing that I can do. I surrender everything. I just trust You to be my Savior and my Lord because, God, I know You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die and to pay for that my sin. I'm going to stop trying to cover up my sin. I'm going to stop trying to make it right. I can't. I need you to forgive me and you to change me. Until we come to that place in our life, Jesus is not really in our boat. And so we're not ready to meet the storms of life until we come to that place. So I want to ask you this morning, have you come to that place? Have you invited Jesus Christ to be a part of your life? If you have, then are you following Him? Are you living that life of faith in those storms as they come your way? Are you stepping out in faith and obedience to whatever it is that He is calling you to? Are you living that life? And the third thing I want to mention, Jesus said in the Great Commission, remember, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all things that I've commanded you. Remember what He says after that? He says, lo, I am with you always. That's not a blank check promise. He promises to be with people who are intentional about reaching their neighbors, about reaching other people for Christ. He promises to be with churches that are doing that intentionally. And so if you're feeling like, you know, God's just not really with me, maybe one of the things you need to be is more intentional about living out the truths of that Great Commission in your own life personally. Is God, Jesus, really in your boat this morning? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the story of this miracle that Jesus did. Thank you for the lessons as they apply to our life. Father, help us to not be afraid, but help us to, just as we sung so well this morning already, help us to know that you are God alone. Father, help us to peer into your eyes and into your face and to see that you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the mighty God. You are the wonderful counselor. You are the provider. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, help us to see all that you are. And Lord, help us to live that life of faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I can't peer into your heart this morning, but I know that God can and does. The Bible says He searches out our hearts and our minds. What has God spoken to you about this morning? Those thoughts in your mind and in your heart, those are from Him. Whatever He has been speaking to your heart this morning, you need to respond. Maybe you've got a storm of life and He is simply saying, trust me. Maybe He's giving you some direction and some things you need to do. Maybe you've realized this morning that you've never really asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. You've just have always gone to church and always believed in God, but you've never come to that point where you've said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I want you and you alone to forgive me of my sins. I don't trust my prayers. I don't trust in being a good person. I don't trust in the church. I don't trust in anything but you, Jesus. I want you to save me. Maybe you're at that point where you want to do that today. Then this time of our service is an opportunity for you to just make those commitments to God. We're going to stand, and if you need to pray with God just right where you are, do that. Maybe you need to come forward and share with one of the pastors here at the church. That's appropriate as well. But whatever God has said to you this morning, won't you respond to Him?